This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, inshallah, without too much delay, I want to talk to you guys about today's topic. And inshallah, Sheikh Yasir will take it away once he arrives. Embracing the Quran. Our topic is embracing the Quran. As students of knowledge, what does it mean? Where do we stand? And what should our relationship be with the Quran? And how should it impact us and change us? Inshallah, these are all things that he will address us and elaborate on, inshallah. But without any further delay, I'm going to start the program by calling our sister Zaina Davis to do our opening recitation. Okay, inshallah. I'm going to call upon Musa to do our first recitation. Inshallah, please come on up. One recitation from the brother's side, one from the sister's side, and then inshallah we'll ask Sheikh Yasir to come up, please. Inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة اعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا وجعلنا الليل والنهار آيتين فمحونا وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وكل شيء فصلناه تفصيلا وكل إنسان ألزمناه طائره ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا صدق الله العظيم.
Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, preserve you, and increase you. Musa, say Ameen. Say Ameen. Thank you. Inshallah, next we'll call upon our dear sister Layla Davis to recite some ayat for us, inshallah. Zaina? That's what I said, huh? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Inshallah, sorry. What's one of the sisters? Inshallah, sister Zaina Davis to recite some ayat for us, inshallah.
الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا أنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور ليوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله إنه غفور شكور والذي أوحينا الكتاب هو الحق مصدقا لما بين يديه إن الله بعباده لخبير بصير ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير جنات عدن يدخلونها يحلون فيها من أساور ولباسهم فيها حرير وقالوا الحمد لله الذي أذهب عنا الحزن إن ربنا لغفور شكور الذي أحلنا دار المقامة من فضله لا يمسنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها لغوب والذين كفروا لهم نار جهنم لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا ولا يخفف عنهم من عذابها كذلك نجزي كل كفور وهم يصطرخون فيها ربنا أخرجنا نعمل صالحا غير الذي كنا نعمل أولم نعمركم ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر أولم نعمركم ما يتذكر فيه من تذكر وجاءكم النذير فذوقوا فما للظالمين من نصير صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله تكبير 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 MashaAllah, most beautiful recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our sister Zaina Davis. If you guys remember a few weeks ago when Sheikh Ali Davis was here, that's her dad. So MashaAllah, the whole family, a very, very blessed, very noble family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, preserve them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you, sister Zaina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and make us among the people of the Quran. And in light of this topic, Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Yasser is here to speak with us about embracing the Quran, by which extension, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow for us lessons by which we can reflect upon and which we can act upon so that we can become companions of the Quran. And so I call upon our beloved Dr. Yasser to say some words, inshallah, by which we can benefit.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah wahdah wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah ma ba'd. Firstly, I apologize. I've been speaking quite a lot over the weekend, so my voice is a little bit hoarse. But inshallah ta'ala, you can understand me. Can you imagine being in Mecca and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking in your midst? Can you imagine being in that time frame? And you have, you know, the icons of Islam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhum, Ali ibn Abi Talib, you have all of these. And on the other side, you have those evil people of the Quraysh. You have Abu Lahab, you have, you know, Abu Jahl, you have all of these evil people. And the Quran tells us one of the conversations, one of the back and forths that took place. The Quran tells us that these Quraysh, Abu Jahl and others, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, how do we know that you are a prophet of Allah? Show us some miracles. And the Quran records some of what they said. So for example, Allah says in the Quran that وَقَالُوا لَنُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. We're never going to believe you until you just point your finger and water should come from the ground in front of us. Or you snap your hands and create a big garden. Or send down some treasures from the heavens. Or even تُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَأُهُ. Bring down an actual book so that we see it from our eyes coming down. So they're challenging the Prophet ﷺ to show them a, what is it, the English word? A what? A miracle. Jazakallah khair. They're challenging to show the Prophet a miracle. Show us a miracle. And by the way, Allah mentions in the Quran that even if we had revealed that type of miracle, even if these amazing things happen, they wouldn't accept. Allah says in the Quran that وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. Allah says, you know, this is just talk. If we actually sent all of the angels down and they saw it with their eyes, if we resurrected the dead and the dead said to them, believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most amazing miracles, Allah says, in reality, مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا. They wouldn't actually believe. It's just arrogance. They're challenging. But still, Allah wanted to show them the one miracle that should convince anybody who is sincere. Allah wanted to give at least one magnificent miracle so that their mouth should be quiet, so that anybody who is sincere will be able to see and say, okay, this man is a true Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah has actually sent him. And Allah mentions in the Quran, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. They say, why don't we see miracles? We want to see miracles. Allah then says, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Isn't it enough of a miracle that we have sent down to them the book that the tilawa is done of? The tilawa of the Quran is the miracle that Allah has revealed. The tilawa of the Quran that you guys are doing day and night, the recitation of the Quran that we just listened to, the beauty of the Quran, that is the miracle that is bigger than the miracle of sending all the angels. It is bigger than the miracle of resurrecting the dead. It is bigger than the miracle of causing water to come out and to gardens to form. The Quran, the tilawa of the Quran, the recitation of the Quran, it is the biggest miracle that indicates that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a true prophet. And in fact, when you grow older, another question will come to mind. People are going to come to you when you go to university. Non-Muslims are going to come and they're going to say to you, how do you know Islam is true? You were just born a Muslim. You went to madrasa. Your parents sent you to madrasa. And your response is going to be, memorize this. I know Islam is true because I have the miracle of the Quran. The Quran is the miracle. The Quran demonstrates and proves that this religion is true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. That my deen is correct. And the Quran explicitly mentions this in so many verses. You're memorizing these verses. Allah says in the Quran that, do you believe, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ? Do they say that he has fabricated the Quran? Do they say that he is writing it himself? Allah says that, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. Bring one surah like it. وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And get all the help you want. Get your ChatGPT, get your AI, get all of the leaders and the thinkers and the intellectuals and the professors. And Allah says, bring even one surah like it. In another verse, Allah says, فَأْتُوا بِعَشِرْ سُورٍ مِثْلِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. Bring 10 surahs like it. In another verse, Allah says, قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَدَامٍ. Bring a book like the Qur'an. And by the way, some scholars say that Allah wanted to show how incapable they are, how weak they are. So Allah first said, bring a book. They couldn't do it. Then Allah said, bring 10 surahs. They couldn't do it. Allah says, bring even one surah. They couldn't do it. And then Allah revealed Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the last of these surahs when it comes to these verses. By the way, for the students studying Islam, there's 5 verses like this in the Quran. These are called the verses of challenge. Ayatul Tahaddi, the verses of challenge. There's 5 verses like this in the Quran. 4 of them were revealed in Mecca. One of them was revealed in Medina. One of them, the last one. And that is in Surah Al-Baqarah. What is the verse that challenges mankind to produce the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah? Some of you know. Who's going to say it? The verse that challenges mankind to produce something like the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. You can hear my sipping right from the microphone. I know some of you know this. I'm not gonna move on until one of you tells me. Because it's right at the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, the first few pages. I'm not gonna move on. This is a challenge to all of you now. Yes, be brave, sisters, be brave. Yes. Excellent, but what's the beginning? You're right, but the beginning, you gave me the end of the, I want the beginning. Yes. Excellent, our sister gets it. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. Right? This is the last of the verses that came down. If you have any doubt about the Quran, then bring one surah similar to it. And then Allah seals the challenge. This is the sealing of the challenge. Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. Then, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. What's the difference between لَمْ and لَن? I'll teach you some Arabic. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. If you cannot do it, lam, walan, and you shall never be able to do it in the future. If you cannot do it in the past, up until now, walan, and you shall not, this is a prediction. Lam is for the past, lan for the future. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you haven't done it, then Allah says a statement of fact, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you shall never be able to do it. Then Allah says, you are rejecting the truth that is known to you, so beware of the punishment of Allah. Now, my talk today, therefore, is to help us appreciate, to make us understand the job that all of us, and especially all of you, are doing. You are helping to preserve the miracle of the Quran. You are living the miracle of the Quran. You are demonstrating that the Quran is the ultimate miracle given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is the Quran miraculous? What is so miraculous about the Quran? There's many things. I'm just going to mention 3 or 4 and then finish off inshallah with the one that is the most important for all of you over here. Of course, of the most obvious miracles of the Quran, of the most obvious miracles, is how powerful, how beautiful, how eloquent it is. There's no other speech like it that is similar to it in its beauty. And there's so many stories from our seerah, from the interactions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have you heard the name of Khalid ibn al-Walid? You know the famous companion Khalid ibn al-Walid? His father, whose name was, what was his father's name? Louder. Al-Walid, obviously, very good. Khalid ibn al-Walid, what's his? Al-Walid, yes. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. The sisters are winning, the brothers. You guys, you need to up your game. MashaAllah, good job for you, sisters. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. And who was Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira? He was the chieftain of the most popular and the most famous and the most rich tribe. He was a politician, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting Quran in front of the Kaaba. And Al-Walid walked by. And Al-Walid was the most respected poet of the Quraysh. He was a politician and an author and a poet, a very respected intellectual. When he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting the Quran, he paused. He stopped walking. And he was in a trance. Can you imagine the Prophet is in front of the Kaaba, he's doing his tilawa. By the way, imagine your favorite qari, right? Imagine your favorite qari and how we love listening to our favorite qari. Can you imagine listening to the Prophet's qira'ah? Can you imagine that beauty? Inshallah, one day we hope in Jannah, we hope to listen to the Prophet. All of these qaris that you love, good for them, we all love them. But we miss the one voice that would have been the queen of all voices. And inshallah, we hope inshallah in Jannah to hear that voice. So can you imagine, Al-Walid is listening to the qira'ah of the Prophet directly. He's in a trance, as if he's transported to a different time and place. And the whole Quraysh are looking at him because they see he's been affected by the Prophet's recitation. Then the whole rumors began to spread. Is he going to convert? Has he been influenced? Is he going to become Muslim? And Abu Jahl, who was his cousin, Abu Jahl comes to him. And Abu Jahl, who was younger than him, he's an older man, Al-Walid. Abu Jahl says, your whole tribe is in fear. They're shaking. Are you going to convert? And of course, he never converted. He goes, no, I'm not going to convert. So Abu Jahl says, but you were affected by the Quran. You were affected. And he said, why should I not be affected? I have never heard anything more eloquent than the Quran. This is somebody who is a enemy outside of Islam, who is the best. And he even said to Abu Jahl, you know that I am your best poet. You know that nobody can compete when it comes to poetry. And yet I have never heard anything like the Quran. This is the father of who, guys? Khalid ibn al-Walid. This is the father of Khalid ibn al-Walid. Abu Jahl says, no, we will not let you leave in public until you say something against the Quran. Until you say something against the Quran. Abu Jahl's threatening him because people are scared. And so here's the beauty of the Quran itself. I'm telling you something that goes back to the Quran itself. This is a private conversation between Abu Jahl and between Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. And Abu Jahl says, Al-Walid says, let me think, what can I say? Let me think. Leave me alone. And let me think about what I can say. And Al-Walid then begins walking in his house. All alone, nobody is there. Al-Walid begins walking. His face is frowned. He's thinking, what should I say? What should I say? What should I say? And subhanAllah, listen to the story. Before Al-Walid comes out of his house to tell the people what he was about to say, Allah revealed in the Quran exactly describing what had just happened and saying what he would say before he said it. So when he came out, not knowing Allah had revealed Quran, subhanAllah, it was another miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. And who can tell me which surah Allah revealed? Yes. Very good. At least the brothers have one, guys. Okay, mashallah. 1-2. Right now the score is 1-2. Don't worry, I'll give you more opportunities. You can up the game. Surah Muddathir. Which section of Surah Muddathir? Which section of Surah Muddathir? Tell me the ayah. Yes, sister. Raise your voice. Excellent, but go to the beginning. Excellent, you got again to the middle. Go to the, where does the scene begin? Where does the scene begin? Yes. Yeah, the sister says something similar. You're right. Keep on going. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَا So, Al-Walid said, leave me alone to Abu Jahl. Leave me, I need to think. Allah says, leave me alone with Al-Walid. I will take care of him. He quoted Al-Walid against him. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا. And then Allah describes Al-Walid in the privacy of his house. إنه فكر وقدر فقتل كيف قدر ثم نظر ثم عبس وبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إن هذا إلا قول البشر. In other words, and by the way, the beauty of these verses itself is a miracle. You don't even need to know Arabic just to listen. You all love Surah Muddathir because it has these powerful verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used his words against him. And Allah quoted him against him. And Allah described him in the privacy of his house. He's walking around. He's in a frown. He's thinking. He doesn't know what to say. And the max he can say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. This must be some type of magic I don't understand. So when he exited the house, he was gonna say, this is a magic I don't understand. Too late. Allah had already revealed the Quran and Allah had exposed what he was going to say. Do you see the miracle of the Quran? Do you see how powerful the Quran is? That Allah describes his own inner thoughts and Allah describes in his own household and Allah describes what he was going to say before he says it in a language far more eloquent than anything humans can produce. And this is just one story out of hundreds and thousands. The Quran is a miracle. Now, how is the Quran a miracle? So we said one of the ways the Quran is a miracle is that it is in its most beautiful language. The eloquence, the rhetoric, the balagha of the Quran, the words Allah uses. And if you listen to any scholar doing tafsir, you will come across this, that why did Allah use this word? Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla choose this phrase? What is the beauty of this sentence structure? And that is, you know, it's an ocean that has no shores. You keep on going and going and going. So that's one aspect of the miracle. Another aspect of the miracle of the Quran, we just gave it in the story. Allah is describing knowledge that no one can know except Allah. Allah is describing ilm al-ghayb. Allah is describing something no human can ever understand. No human can ever have access to. And in fact, can you imagine before there was internet, before there was cell phones, imagine 100 years ago. Can you imagine if an explorer went into the jungles of Brazil, the jungles of Africa, and this is a tribe that has been cut off from the whole world. And that tribe has current information about what is happening around the world. That tribe seems to have knowledge of your civilization and of your histories, even though it is cut off and it has no mechanism of communication. You would wonder, how is this happening? You have to understand the Quran exemplifies, it illustrates this miracle when it came down. The stories of the Quran, the realities of the Quran, the descriptions the Quran is giving of other civilizations. Remember, there was no cell phone, there is no internet. Arabia, Mecca, Medina, this is disconnected from the rest of the world. There are no, even if a traveler came from, you know, Syria, it would take 6 weeks, 2 months. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing literally knowledge as it happens. Between the Romans and the Persians, there was a battle that took place. And the day of the battle, the same day of the battle, minutes after the battle finished, Alif Lam Mim غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. Allah told us the results of the battle, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predicted, don't worry, right now the Romans have been defeated, but the next battle the Romans will win. And that's exactly what happened 9 years later. This is well known in history, you can look it up. 9 years later the Romans attacked the Persians, and like Allah predicted, في بضع سنين, it's just a matter of a few years, they're gonna win again. Also the stories, remember, again, it's difficult for us to understand. You guys are born in the era of cell phones and internet. You can't imagine a world without communication. This is all new. I grew up and there was no cell phones. This is absolutely new. And there was no communication. And there was no printed books. When the Prophet was there, there's no library. There's not a single library in all of Arabia. The Bible had not been translated into Arabic. Nobody knew the Bible in Arabic. And the Quran is giving you stories of Jesus, of Moses, of Abraham. The Quran is giving a whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah is saying that you were not there. مَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. You were not there when Zakaria was casting the lots. You were not there when Isa. You were not there when we spoke to Musa. وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى أَمْرًا. وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. وَلَكِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَا قُرُونَ. Allah is telling us. Allah is describing to us events that happen on Mount Judi, on Mount Tur. Allah is describing in vivid detail. And this is another miracle of the Quran. Where does that knowledge come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human in Mecca could have had that knowledge the way that we have it in the Quran. The third miracle of the Quran. The third miracle of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. When you read the Quran is internally consistent. There's no contradiction. Anybody who would write a book over 23 years describing realities, talking about aspects, you would find contradiction. And Allah is saying there's no contradiction in the Quran. The fourth miracle, there's so many miracles we can go. The fourth miracle that we can say, and Allah mentions this in the Quran as well, is the effect the Quran has on those who listen to it. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. When they listen to the Quran, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. To listen to the Quran is a source of comfort and a source of peace. You don't even know the words. So many of you in this audience are not Arab. I am not Arab. And by the way, even the Arabs, you don't understand the Arabic of the Quran. You and I both know this, right? Your Amiya, your Masriya, your Shamiya, your whatnot, your Maghribiya, your Darija. It's totally disconnected and you don't understand the Quran the way that it was. And yet still, the impact on you, even though you don't understand the Quran, the tilawat, the beautiful tilawat of our brother and our sister that just recited right now, it impacted all of you, even though you don't fully understand the words. No other. I mean, give it a try. Go listen to some poetry in a language you don't understand. It might sound good. It's not going to affect the heart. Your heart is not going to go soaring in the clouds. It's not going to be impacted at that level. Why? Because the Quran is not the speech of a human. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah speaks, the heart is attracted. When Allah speaks, the heart is impacted. When Allah speaks, the heart is connected. Even if you don't understand the words. And that's a miracle that every one of you understands and appreciates simply because the impact of the tilawa is so powerful. And we have this again from the seerah. So many sources, stories from the seerah. The famous story of the companion Jubayr ibn Mut'im. Jubayr ibn Mut'im, his father was Mut'im ibn Adi. I have a whole lecture about Mut'im ibn Adi. You can listen to it. Jubayr ibn Mut'im was taken a prisoner and he was taken to Medina in the Battle of Badr. And he was taken a prisoner and they didn't have a jail in Medina. So where would the prisoners be? The prisoners would be in the masjid. That's literally in the back of the masjid. You had all the prisoners of Badr. There was no jail in Medina. And they stayed there for a few days. Jubayr ibn Mut'im said that he came, in the day of the Battle of Badr, he came back to Medina, he was a prisoner. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into the masjid to lead us for Salat al-Maghrib, to lead the Sahaba, he's not a companion at the time, to lead the Sahaba for Salat al-Maghrib. And he said, he recited Surat al-Tur. Surat al-Tur. Jubayr ibn Mut'im said that, as I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite, my heart began feeling a sense it had never felt before. Because he had never heard the Quran. He had never heard the Quran. They're rejecting Islam without even knowing what it is. And he says, I heard the Prophet recite Surah Tur until when he came to the ending of the surah, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. And if you read Surah Tur again, it's building up to a magnificent ending. It's a crescendo, we call it, right? You literally build up hype. It's asking questions, right? This, that, one question after another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where did you come from? Who created you? Were you created out of nothing or did you create yourselves? Rather, Allah created you. And imagine the process in reciting Surat al-Tur and Salat al-Maghrib. Jubayr said, my heart felt it was about to break open my chest and fly into the air. And that was when Iman first entered my heart. To listen to the tilawa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Quran. Goes back to the miracle that we're talking about. Again, much can be said. I want to finish on one point and leave some time for Q&A as well. Of the miracles of the Quran. And I want to finish on this point. Of the miracles of the Quran is the miracle that all of you are a part of. A miracle that is so miraculous. No other book, no other poem, no other literature even can compete in any category. And that is the miracle of how easy it is to memorize the Quran sentence by sentence, word by word, letter by letter, haraka by haraka, pause by pause. Now you guys take it for granted, as I took it for granted when I was your age. You don't even understand that it's like drinking water. Literally, you all know this, that once you get in the swing of things, once you learn how to do it, you memorize a page a day, 2 pages a day, then you move on to the next sabak, then the next sabak, then the next sabak. Next thing you know, mashallah, you finish the juz. Next thing you know, 10 juz. Next thing you know, the whole Quran. Sure, little bit of effort, yes, but very doable. You've already graduated hundreds of hufad. You are another batch. Another batches will come after you. Because it's common, you take it for granted. Because you're doing it, you don't even realize it's a miracle. Now think about it. If I were to give you a 600-page book in ancient Japanese and say, hey, memorize this, word for word, letter for letter, haraka for haraka, who could do it? Impossible. It's impossible. It's not possible to do. You guys literally are living the miracle. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you. You are demonstrating the miracle of the Quran. You're living it because there is no other book on earth that is memorized like the Quran. The Christians don't memorize the Old Testament, the New Testament. The Jews don't memorize the Halakha and the Mishnah. The Hindus don't memorize the Gitas. You know, they don't do that. Sure, you'll find one person out of a billion that, you know, he has that memory, he might do it. But it's not a tradition, is what I'm trying to say. It's not something that is done in every single masjid from Alaska all the way to Indonesia. It's not done only in our religion, with our culture and our faith and our holy book. The fact that you can memorize, you don't even know what you're memorizing. You don't even understand what it is. And yet, mashallah, tabarakallah, you recite the entire Quran with minimal mistakes. You do some muraja'. We all make mistakes. It is human nature. But yes, once you make it pakka, mashallah, then khalas, it is pakka, right? And I want to impress upon you that you doing this, frankly, is a proof that our religion is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are a living miracle. Appreciate this. Allah is using you to prove the truth of this religion. Because it's not possible to memorize this book cover to cover unless it is a real divine book. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes or no? You all need to feel a sense of honor and pride. Allah has chosen you. I know some of you would rather at this stage not be chosen. I get it. I know some of you are be here because of your parents, right? You don't understand. It's fine. It's fine to feel that right now. But when you grow older, inshallah, inshallah ta'ala, you will appreciate this blessing. Because not everybody is a hafiz. Not everybody has memorized the Quran. In fact, our sister who recited the tilawa, she reminds us that Allah chooses those who he wants to memorize the Quran. What did our sister recite that demonstrates this? Come on, I literally am pointing at what she recited. So give me the verse she recited that proves this point. Yes, our young brother, yes. So sisters, 2 for 2, sorry. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِينَا ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ. Now, I know, by the way, many of you don't know Arabic. That's fine. I'm kind of teasing you to encourage you. The goal is to make you realize. I will tell you this because, inshallah ta'ala, I have the right to tell you this. Memorizing the Quran is a very important thing. Be happy, be proud, be humble. But it's just the beginning. I know your parents think it's the end. That's because they're your parents. Good for them. I will tell you, it's just the beginning. That's just kindergarten. That's just grade 1. Memorizing the Quran is just the beginning of a lifelong study You don't have to go full-time Islamic studies. I'm not saying you have to do that. But you have to study yourself the Quran. Even if you become an engineer, a doctor, a nurse, or a professor, doesn't matter. You will never stop studying the Quran. And a part of that study is to understand it and appreciate it. A part of that study is to understand what Allah is saying. So our brother correctly pointed out, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. We gave this book to those whom we chose from our servants. اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah has chosen you and given you this book. Allah has اصْطَفَى. You know the name of our Prophet is Mustafa. Mustafa, Mujtaba. What does Mustafa mean? The one whom Allah chose, Mustafa. And Allah uses the same adjective for those who memorize the Quran. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. So right now, I get it. You think you'd rather be on the outside playing. You know, I don't know the latest games, I'm sorry. Is it Xbox or is it something beyond that? What is the latest one? Huh? PS5. I remember PS3 from some years ago. Is that outdated now? You don't know PS3? Okay, PS5. Okay. So I know you know, what do you guys want to play instead? I don't know. But whatever it is, you know, you want to do something outside. And you're like, oh my God, those kids are lucky. I wish we could do this. And I get it. I'm asking you to trust your parents and your elders and to trust me as well. This phase will go away. And within a few years, you will be so grateful and thankful to Allah and then to your parents and your teachers who encouraged you to take on the magnificent job of preserving the living miracle of the Quran. Because you are an elite group. That doesn't mean you should feel arrogant, you should feel humble. You are an elite group. Allah says, I chose you. اصطفينا من عبادنا. Allah chose you. So Allah chose you, appreciate that. Thank Allah that your parents wanted you to come here. Thank Allah your teachers are spending this time with you. Thank Allah you're in this environment that is, mashallah, one of the premier Quran teaching academies in this country. Thank Allah. Allah has chosen you. And inshallah ta'ala, as you grow older, you will begin to appreciate more and more this great responsibility that you have. And that responsibility is to demonstrate the beauty of our religion, to demonstrate that Allah has given us the best book, sent us the best prophet, chosen us with the best faith. And we know this because the Quran is a miracle. And we know the Quran is a miracle because of many factors. One of them, every one of you is demonstrating the Quran is a miracle. Do you understand this point? Do you understand how? Yes? Yes? Inshallah. Okay, with that, Bismillah, let's open up the floor for some questions, inshallah, and then we'll send you back to your tahfil classes, renewed with greater energy and feeling a sense of accomplishment and pride and humility, inshallah. So, who's going to ask the first question? Bismillah. And whatever questions you want, no problem. Bismillah. Open. All questions are all fine. Sisters, brothers, who's going to break the ice? Yes, speak loudly so that I can hear you. My case was different than yours. Firstly, I'm a little bit older than you, so I did this in the early and mid 80s when you were not even born, any of you here, and your parents were maybe my age, or some of your parents are even younger than me, Allah Mustan. I'm getting old. I did this in the 80s. I began 1984 part-time. So I did not give up school. You guys gave up school, mashallah. I did not give up school. I began memorizing part-time while going to school. My father would bring the Maulvi Sahib to our house. And I think I said this story last time as well. When my father said to me that I want you to memorize the Quran, I threw a tantrum and said, no, I'm not going to do it. I began to cry, throwing a teenage tantrum. I want to go out and play. I don't want to memorize the Quran. And my father was gentle and kind and goes, no, you have to do it, Bismillah. And you know, it is what it is. You have to do what you have to do. And I did not want to do it at all. And now I thank Allah for having been blessed with such parents that facilitated memorizing the Quran for me. So I started in 1984. I did part-time on and off until 89, 90. And then I took a year off from my studies, my school. Between my high school and university, I took a year off. I had 16, 17 Jews left at that time. So in 1 year, I did 17 Jews. In 10 months, I did 17 Jews. That was when I took full time. I did the 17 Jews. This is 1990, and I finished. I even have the date somewhere. I finished March something, 1991, I finished. March whatever, 1991, I finished. And, you know, I'm from a Pakistani background, so I did not speak Arabic. So I did not understand what I was memorizing. I just was just, you know, doing my hifd and everything. So alhamdulillah, memorized the Quran. Then when I got accepted to the University of Medina, I, you know, did my my bachelor's, I decided to go to Medina. Then I found a sheikh who came and visited us, Sheikh Qadi Bashir. He came to EPIC. I'm very honored that he came here. And I sat with him a year and a half to do my first ijazah in Hafs and Asim. Our sheikh he's still alive, alhamdulillah. He's a very strict teacher. You think your Maulvi sahabs are strict? You haven't seen Sheikh Bashir, okay? You think Hafiz sahab is strict? No, he is a piece of cake compared to Qari Bashir. Qari Bashir, I had to spend a week and a half in Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, he wouldn't pass me. A week and a half. And even then, he's like, okay, we'll let it go for now. Let's just move on to Baqarah. He wasn't happy with my Fatiha after a week and a half. He's so strict in his pronunciation and whatnot. So, and then I got my ijazah, and then I did some more qiraat, and then moved on to other topics. But yeah, so it took, as I said, part-time, and then 1 year full-time, inshallah. Other questions before we conclude? Sisters, I want to give you opportunity. Questions? Don't be shy. This is your opportunity. Bismillah. Going once. You had a tie, now win the tie with some questions. Going twice and a half. No one? Okay, back to the brothers. Yes, you first, go ahead. You'll have to speak louder. What university did I go to? My first university is University of Houston, 4 hours away from here. My parents are from Houston. Well, my father, lived in Houston 55 years he lived in Houston, 50-something years he lived in Houston. So I grew up in Houston, went to University of Houston. And then after that, I decided to go to University of Medina in Saudi Arabia to study Islamic studies. But my first degree is in engineering. And I do encourage all of you to get some education in this part of the world, in some discipline. Then if you want to go Islamic studies, go Islamic studies. My advice, generally speaking, is you have something of a degree or education, then you can decide what you want to do. That's my advice. Okay? Yes, brother. How did they know the ayah came down? Because Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ, so the Sahaba already knew it before Al-Walid said anything, right? The Sahaba already knew what he would say before Al-Walid said something. Does that make sense, right? Because Jibreel came down while he was in his house, right? ثُمَّ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ نَظَرَ وَعَبَسَ وَبَسَ وَأَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَقَالَ هَذَا سِحْرٌ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. He's thinking he's going to say something, and by the time he comes out, the Prophet has already recited the whole scenario to the Sahaba in Mecca. Okay? Good question. Sisters, another. Yes, go ahead, Bismillah. If somebody what? So she's asking a fiqh question. If a non-Ahli Kitab gives you food, is it permissible? Realize, when Allah says the food of Ahli Kitab is permissible, what Allah is saying is when they sacrifice animals according to the rituals of their law, then it is permissible. As for vegetarian, as for non-meat items, it doesn't matter where it comes from. We can eat the non-meat items anywhere we find them. So if somebody bakes cookies that doesn't have any, haram elements in it, somebody makes a cake, if somebody gives you dal chawal, no problem. Go ahead and eat dal chawal, yes. But when it comes to chicken or beef or goat or lamb when it comes to meat products, non-fish, because fish you don't need to sacrifice. Then we need to follow a routine. And that routine means you mention the name of Allah. And if you're a Christian or a Jew, you can say in the name of God. You have to say something and you sacrifice it properly. So when they sacrifice it properly, which they don't do anymore, they used to do that, then that meat would be permissible for us. Otherwise, the meat is not permissible for us. Okay? Other questions? Bismillah. Yes. Again, you have to raise your voice. What was the biggest difficulty I faced when trying to complete my hifz? You're talking about the full-time phase? Yeah. The biggest personal issue for me, and it's a personal question, I don't mind, you know, because it's important to say this even. There were times when I felt my friends are getting ahead of me in life. I did feel that. Because I was the only one who did hifz of my class. Because remember, I didn't go to a madrasa, I didn't go to an Islamic school. I went to a regular school and I did hifz on the side, and then it took a year off. And I did hifz at home because there was no madrasa that I could have gone to back then. So the Maulvisa would come to my house. While I was doing hifz, that 1 year, all of my friends had gone on to university. And all of them were moving up in life. And obviously, and I want to be, you know, you are all in the same boat, and I'm your older brother, so I'm going to be honest here. It's natural to feel that others are getting more than I am. It's natural. But I am telling you, give it some time, and the script will be flipped. I'm telling you this. Be patient. And if you are sincere, and you are, inshallah ta'ala, mature, which inshallah all of you are, without a doubt, you will win the race. How can any of you choose Allah and then Allah doesn't bless you with extra? How can you choose the Quran and Allah doesn't show the barakah of the Quran in your life? Impossible, impossible. And I said this last time to most of you here, I said this last time as well, don't trivialize even from a worldly perspective what memorizing the Quran does. Of course there's spiritual, of course there's barakah, even from a worldly perspective, your memories are 1,000 times better than non-huffaz. Your dedication, you've done something that 1% of the ummah does. 99% don't do that. You are showing that, hey, give me a task, I can do it. And when you get to the world, corporate, when you get to other, I went to engineering college, University of Houston is a very difficult university. Engineering is not an easy discipline. And I found it not, I'm not going to say easy, but it wasn't difficult. I mean, I could do it. I earned top grades. Why? Because memorizing the Quran gives you dedication. It gives you memory. It gives you routine, like to wake up every single day and to do what you need to do. You are learning discipline, right? So do not trivialize the fact that even from a worldly perspective, you shall be blessed, inshallah ta'ala. Only thing is, you have to have the niyyah. So very personal question, and I'll tell you honestly, at the time, shaitan comes to you. You know, come on, I'm a teenager, right? And all of my friends are already university. I see them, they're sending me pictures. You know, we had something called literally picture. They had to print it out and send it. We didn't have iPhones, right? They're sending me pictures. Oh, I'm in this university, one of my friends went to London, another goes to America, another goes like here, I'm doing this, I'm going here, Eiffel Tower, this and that. And I'm sitting at home doing my sabak. How do you think I'm going to feel? And I remember that, you know, it's like you feel a sense of like, depriving, you know, like it is what it is. But you know, subhanAllah, every one of those friends now, every one of them, now the respect has changed the table. They call me now, you know, Sheikh Yasa. Not that we want that, but I'm saying, deen and dunya, izzah, everything, it has flipped the script. Everything. And the same will happen. Not that it should not be your aim. Of course it should not be your aim. But when you choose Allah, Allah will choose you. When you prefer Allah, Allah will bless you. So don't ever think that you're sacrificing anything. No, you are winning. And you will win if your niyyah is great. Right, inshallah. Okay, let's finish up. Question from the sisters. Bismillah. Oh, two questions. Bismillah. Go ahead. First you, then you go ahead. Office up. She's asking, did the teachers beat me up when I was a kid? What's going on here? No beating allowed. No beatings allowed, mashallah. We're living in the United States of America. You know, when I was growing up in the 80s, it was legal to physically discipline children even in America. Okay, the world has changed radically. The first madrasa my father sent me to, there was physical disciplining. And I threw a massive tantrum at my dad back in the day, and I said, I'm not going to go to this madrasa because, you know, they would beat the students. I mean, this is back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, you should be grateful that that has changed. But it was legal, it was allowed, it was the norm that there was physical disciplining if you made any mistake. And I don't believe in this. Now that I'm an adult, forget it hurts and people. That's not the way you teach a child. You don't physically beat a child if they make a mistake in the Quran. That's not nice. It's not Islamic, it's not tarbiyah. So I did go through, I forgot how long, a month or so, and I told my father, I cannot do this. If you want me to do it, then at least send a Maulvi Sahib at home. So then that's what the compromise was. So I was not beaten for more than a few, but I was made a murgha once or twice. Does anybody want to demonstrate, or we'll just leave that aside? Okay, hey, that's me, yes. 1985, 86, yes, that was me, sitting in the corner like that. It's just not, I don't think this is healthy. Well, it's not healthy, and I'm grateful that we live in a time and a place that, you know, we does that answer your question? Right, okay, Bismillah, and yes, this is good, yeah. So, this is back in the 90s when the world was, again, a very different place. This was literally 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. There were no scholars in America that spoke English fluently. And I felt an emptiness to understand my religion. I've said this story many times, actually. I'll never forget, like, you know, one particular night. So, I would, for some weird reason, which I don't understand now, as a college student, even though I had a house in my father's house and my bed was there, I don't know why, I would like to sleep on the floor. I would just have a thin mattress or a blanket, and I'd like to sleep on the floor. I don't know why, I want to think of it, but it's just my habit to do that. And all of my books would be on the floor. And one day, I, you know, saw these books here, and I saw organic chemistry and partial differential equations and, you know, thermal transfers and this and that. All of these books, they're this big. You know those massive books? And a sadness came to me that, subhanAllah, I'm getting an A in all of these classes, and I don't know the Quran, what it means. And the Quran is this much, and all of these books are this much, you know? And I just felt an emptiness, like, how can I get an A in all of these classes, and I don't know what Allah is saying in the Quran? Because I remember I didn't speak Arabic, right? I didn't speak Arabic growing up. And it just felt an emptiness in me. I wanted to, and, you know, at the time, there weren't fluent English-speaking ulama in America. There wasn't. You had your imams and maulvi sahibs that came from Egypt or from Pakistan, and they didn't speak English fluently. May Allah bless them. We needed them back in the time. And I met a few people that had studied a little bit, and I was very impressed that, wow, Islam is a... Because I didn't realize that Islam is a rich tradition, that Islam has a very developed system. I didn't realize this, right? And when you realize that, like, you become curious. And so I decided that... And at the time, I thought, let me just go for a year or two and then come back to engineering. It wasn't in my mind because there was no such thing as a sheikh in the Western world or a celebrity preacher. You guys have to understand this was a new world. This was a very different world 30, 35 years ago, right? There was nobody who was a famous preacher and teacher and full-time alim who spoke English as a mother tongue. Nobody. We had part-time du'at and preachers who, you know, Imam Siraj and Jamal Badawi that I looked up to at the time, that we knew they weren't scholars, but they were like preachers, you know. So one thing led to another, and my 1 year turned into 10 years in Medina, and then PhD, and then the rest, as they say, is history. But yeah, it wasn't a conscious decision to take a path where I would end up where I'm ending up now. No, Allah just kept on opening doors for me. But the desire was to understand the Quran, and that led to many other facts, inshallah. Up till what time do we have? It's up to you, you're the teachers. Go ahead. How old am I? How old do you think I am? 70 what? What? Dudes. You think I'm 77? Did you say 77? 70 something. La ilaha illallah. Huh? 48. MashaAllah. That's my age. Alhamdulillah. How did you know that? Just a random guess? MashaAllah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Final questions before we finish off. Yes. What was the hardest surah to memorize? You know, honestly, there was no one surah that was like more difficult than any other per se. I know the easiest surahs for me were, for some weird reason, I don't know why, but like Surah Maryam, Surah Kahf, Surah Ibrahim, huh? Yeah, Surah Yasin, obviously you're listening to it all the time. Like I memorized Surah Ibrahim in like 2 days. Even though my sabak was one page a day, right, at the time, but for some reason it's just like, was like water. And of course Surah Yusuf, so easy, just memorized it. And actually one of the easiest surahs that surprised me was Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah was so easy. But out of the surahs, I think Surah Tawbah I found a little bit difficult. A little bit difficult, but not like super difficult, just like a little bit more difficult than the others, you know? Yusikum Allah, believe it or not, Surah Nisa was very easy for me. I don't know why. And it still is relatively pakka compared to other surahs, you know? It's like, I thought the fractions would be so difficult, but it turned out to be relatively easy. I don't know why, but alhamdulillah, it is what it is, inshallah. Anyways, sisters and brothers and sisters, mashallah, tabarakallah, I want to say that I am really, really proud of all of you. You are our star program here at EPIC. You are the ones that we sacrifice for. You are our premier educational program. And you are our genuine future leaders. And that's why I'm very honored anytime I can be in track with any of you. And also, if any of you need any advice, any help, inshallah ta'ala, I'm an older brother, not a grandfather yet, okay? I'm not a grandfather yet, inshallah, an older brother. And yes, I guess I'm an uncle as well, okay, khalas, I'm an uncle as well, no problem. But any advice you need, anything you need, you can just approach the main office and say you want office hours with me. I have office hours. And especially with any of you, if you see me in salat time, just come up and say, I need to ask you something, and we can figure out a time and a place. Inshallah, I'm always here for all of you. Keep up the good work. And remember, you are demonstrating the living miracle of Allah. Every one of you is a walking miracle. Every one of you. Allah has chosen you. So take that as an honor, as a badge of honor. Take that as a responsibility. Take that as something to understand. You are privileged, and with privilege comes responsibility. So try your best to act like a good Muslim, to have the humility of a good Muslim, to live the life of a good Muslim. And also remember, once you memorize the Quran, remember what I said, that is the beginning and not the end of your journey. It is the beginning of a lifelong journey to understand the Quran. And with that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran the barakah of our lives, the coolness of our hearts, the comfort of our souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of the Quran and to resurrect us by reciting the Quran and cause us to enter Jannah with the Quran. May Allah make the Quran a source of comfort for us in this dunya, in the qabr, and in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom the Quran intercedes for on the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, make us of Ahlul Quran, those that are khasatuk wa ahlatuk. InshaAllah ta'ala, with that, jazakumullahu khair. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Yasir, for such a beneficial talk. InshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it one that we're able to inculcate into our lives. And as a gesture of admiration for Sheikh Yasir, we wanted to present you with a small gift, inshallah. Would you accept?
Of course, my honor and pleasure.
Please, Hafiz Talha, come on up. And this gift is for Sheikh Sajjad as well. Would you accept it, Sheikh? Inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله amazing ما شاء الله. I have to say this. The fact that you switched in the middle is actually a bigger talent than to imitate either one of us. The fact that you could just switch like this, mashallah, it's really good. So keep up the good work, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you. But I want you to find your own voice and not just imitate, okay? We want to hear the real you, okay? Inshallah. Zakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Zakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah. Zakumullah khair, everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ya Allah, salam alaikum.
Inshallah, students, we're going to go upstairs very soon, but please remain seated for a few minutes. Inshallah, we're going to go upstairs class by class. So, no, guys, just remain seated. Inshallah, we're going to go upstairs class by class.